Have you ever tried to hide pain and simply act like it wasn't there, like everything was fine?
When you're in the middle of the cave and the lights are dark and all you have is a flashlight, you don't realize how dirty you are. But when you start getting to the mouth of the cave, when the sunlight starts hitting, we would look at each other and say, wow, we're really dirty, aren't we? But we never noticed how dirty we were until we came into the light. The more you walk closer to God, the more you realize how much you need to change.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, the president of the Moody Bible Institute and senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Today, part two of Mark's message, The Holiness of God, is from our Deeper Beyond Shallow Spirituality series, and we're in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 today. And at the end of the message, Mark would join me here in the studio, so stay tuned for that and join us right now for today's message.
Isaiah is discouraged at the beginning of his ministry, and I believe that God, in his almighty knowledge, knew what Isaiah needs. What this mighty prophet of God needs is he needs a fresh vision of who I am. Because he will never call the people to repentance. He will never be on a mission. He will never revive. He will never speak with conviction unless this image of who I am is implanted in his spirit, and he understands that I'm much bigger, much greater, much higher than the vision that has been portrayed of me. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, Isaiah says. And then he goes on to describe his vision of God. I saw the Lord. He was seated on a throne, high and exalted. Isaiah describes a vision of seeing God high upon a throne, a brilliant being seated on a throne that indicates sovereignty, authority, and superiority. You see, it's the throne of God that dictates the affairs of man. It's the sovereignty of God that rules over the universe. There is no power greater than God's power. He elevates kings and puts them down. He raises nations and bashes them down. He is God Almighty, King of kings, Lord of the universe. There is no one that equates to his power. Kings rise and go. He endures forever. He is sovereign over all. I saw him high and lifted up, and the train of his robe, the overflowing train of his robe, fluttered down from the throne and filled the entire temple where Isaiah was at. And he says, and as I looked at that throne, I saw some beings. They were called seraphs, angelic beings. A seraph is a type of angel that means like brilliant, glowing. And these seraphs had six wings, it says. With two wings, these seraphs were covering their face, because our eyes behold glory, and the glory of God is too unfathomable for us to behold. So with two wings, they covered their face to shield themselves from the glory of God. With two wings, they covered their feet, because it's your feet that walk on the ground, and your feet are always a symbol of the lowly, dirty part of you. And so two wings covered their feet and two wings covered their face. And with the two other wings, they flew around this great and mighty throne, and their voices called out to one another in a thunderous noise that their voices made that literally shook the doorpost of the temple and the foundation of the temple. Have you ever heard a noise that would shake a house or rattle windows? If you've ever been around an earthquake or an earth tremor, that's the kind of vibration that causes. Or if you live by the L. And as these angelic beings spoke loudly to one another, they said to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. All of the earth is full of his glory. And then as soon as one said that, another angelic being would echo back to them and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. All the earth is full of his glory. And as soon as that angel finished, another angel would call out and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. All the earth is full of his glory. And the smoke of the splendor of his glory filled the temple, so as though one mighty fog machine filled the temple with the brilliance of this being seated on the throne and the echoes of the angels around him declaring his glory. Holy? Why holy? See, God has a lot of attributes, doesn't he? They could have said, love, love, love is the Lord God Almighty. They could have said, grace, grace, grace is the Lord God Almighty. They could have said, kind, kind, kind is the Lord God Almighty. Faithful, faithful, faithful is the Lord God Almighty. Knowledgeable, knowledgeable, knowledgeable is the Lord God Almighty. Powerful, powerful, powerful is the Lord God Almighty. Why holy? In Revelation, the Bible tells us that the angelic beings say the same thing. Holy, holy, holy. What is it about holy? What does holy mean? Why is it that they call holy? What is so important about the characteristic of holy? Most of us, when we say the word holy, we only have this vague, generic idea of what it means, but we can't really define it. If you look at the Hebrew definition of holy, it is from the root word to cut. To cut. To cut out and separate. God is holy because he is a cut away and above from every other being.
You're listening to Bold Steps with me, Mark Job, and we'll continue our message in just a moment. And remember, you can find all of these daily Bible teachings online anytime by going to our website, boldstepsradio.org.
Yeah, and while you're there, I want to encourage you to leave a message. I want to encourage you to give a testimony, a comment. We love hearing from our listeners. And we read every single comment, every single testimony. Some of them will make their way online. And you can go to boldstepsradio.org and just leave a comment, testimony, or you can go to 312-329-2011. That's 312-329-2011 and leave a recorded message. Some of them will actually be used on the air.
Well, Mark, we have a note here sent to us by a listener, and we've asked our executive producer, Judy Krohn, to come to the studio to read it for us. Judy?
Good morning, Mark. I just want to thank you for all your support and prayers. My name is Marie, and I'm a real estate broker. The grace of Jesus Christ and your education are so important to me, and I've always listened to the spiritual teachings Moody offers and lived with love for God. But not all my family is with God. And this new year, I pray for my family. My daughter is doing some bad things. Drugs and alcohol are taking over her life, and I'm praying for deliverance. My heart is broken just watching her. I pray for God's grace for you, your family, and best wishes to you and your family, brother in Christ. Thank you.
Hey, Marie, thank you for sharing with us. And, you know, Marie, let me just say this. It is a difficult place to be as a mother watching your daughter make bad decisions. And I know that your heart breaks. I know it's a burden that you live with. As a parent, I feel that pain. And as a pastor, I've spoken to just literally hundreds, if not thousands, of parents who struggle with the decisions that their sons or daughters are making. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. In the story of the prodigal, the son that goes out, the Bible says, and when he came to his senses. So I always tell parents, you can't manipulate control. You can't, God's going to have to do it. But what you can do is you can pray that your daughter will come to her senses. Now, that may involve some pain in her life, That may involve some disruption. I would say, God, bring them to their senses, but God, do it mercifully. And so I want you to pray this for your daughter, Marie. I want you to say, Lord, bring my daughter to her senses so that she'll wake up and realize I need to go back to the Father. And continue to pray that God would bring people into her life, bring circumstances. And in the process, I don't want you to lose your joy. In the process, I want you to know that her final chapter has not yet been written, that God is still working in her life, that He loves her more than you love her, and that He is working behind the scenes even if you don't see it. So, Father, we pray in Jesus' name for Marie's daughter. We pray, God, that she would come to her senses, that You would work deeply and powerfully in her life, Father, so that she'll realize that her running to alcohol and drugs and addiction and whatever else she's running to is not the fulfillment and not the destiny of her life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Marie, for that note. And Judy, thank you for bringing it to us. If you're listening today and you've got a prayer request or a Bible question for Mark, or you simply want to share your testimony and tell us how Bold Steps has helped you in your walk with Christ, be sure to reach out and let us know by going online to boldstepsradio.org. Or call us, as Mark said, and leave your message on a recorded line. And again, I'll give the number, 312-329-2011. Well, today we're talking about going deeper in our relationship with God by first recognizing His holiness. Here's Mark Jobe again with the rest of today's message.
He is in a category by himself. He has no rival. He has no competition. He is holy, unblemished, by himself in a category that cannot be equated, that cannot be rivaled. It speaks to the character, his unblemished brilliance of character. We are taught to pray by Jesus when we speak the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What does hallowed mean? It means holy is your name. We are taught to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, your name is holy. It means your name is set apart. There is no other name like your name. You are unlike any other existing being. You are in a category all by yourself. You are so high and lifted up that we cannot even begin to touch and fathom the greatness of your name. You are holy. And it is out of that holiness that His love flows, His grace flows, His kindness flows, His mercy flows, His everything flows out of the holiness of God. When God loves, He loves like you have never known, because His love comes out of His separate, His love comes out of His holiness. When God says He loves you, He's not like a 17-year-old boyfriend that says He loves you. No, no, His love is much bigger than that. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. All the earth is full of His glory. And so you see, it's the holiness of God that reflects His glory. What is the glory of God? The glory of God is the radiance of His attributes. It's the shine of His character. And as Isaiah was exposed to the glory and holiness of God, as Isaiah exposed to us, the Bible says that Isaiah had a reaction to it. And I want you to see the reaction. When he saw him and he heard them, verse 4, at the sound of their voices, the doorpost thresholds shook and the temple was full of smoke. Verse 5, it's the reaction to God's holiness. And I said, woe to me, I cried. I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Let me tell you what happens when you see God. When you have a fresh vision of God. When you have a vision beyond just the man upstairs or little baby Jesus. I run into people that still say, well, I'm praying to little, you know, the Hispanics say, Jesucito, you know, little baby Jesus. Almost as though you're praying to some divine baby. Listen, I want to tell you, Jesus is not a divine baby. If you read in the book of Revelation, you see He's got a sword in His mouth. He comes with power and might and authority. He comes as a conqueror. He comes as the victorious King of kings and Lord of lords. He is not this innocent little creature. He was born that way for a season on earth, but he is the victorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Remember that. And when Isaiah was exposed to this in the temple, the Bible says that he saw this vision of God's glory, and I want you to see his reaction, because he did not immediately go to worship, which would be a proper response. He didn't say, let me get the other high priest so that he can see this as well. It wasn't a response of curiosity. It wasn't a response of inspiration. It wasn't a response of worship. The response to God's glory was one of brokenness and repentance. He said, woe is me, I'm ruined. You're ruined? Because at that flash, suddenly, Isaiah saw the contrast between his holiness, God's holiness, and his sinfulness. You see, you'll never understand how sinful you are and how much you need to be fixed until you're exposed to the brilliance of God's glory and character. You see, a lot of us don't think we're that bad because we keep comparing ourselves to our neighbors. And there's always a neighbor worse than us. How about it? Yeah, you know, I got issues, Pastor. You should see the guy next door. Man. That guy, he needs God. He needs church. You know, I got my issues. I'm not perfect. No one's perfect. I try to do right, stay out of, you know, not do too much bad, not hurt people. If they hurt me, I try, you know, I'm human. I get that all the time. You think God grades on a scale? You are in the light of his holiness. It's God's character and his holiness. That's why the Bible says that none is good enough to come to God on his own. That none of us, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none of us that our own merit can make it to God, because the standard is God's perfection. The standard is God's holiness, and we all fall short. Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am ruined. He saw his own sinfulness, and then he saw the sinfulness of the people around him. And he says, and I live among a people of unclean lips. You see, he realized that he needed cleansing. Here's what I want you to understand. Most of us walk and don't think we need renewal because we haven't had an elevated vision of God. Spiritual renewal starts with a new vision of God. And then you'll begin to realize, going back to the caving illustration, we would get really, really dirty going in these caves. But when you're in the middle of the cave and the lights are dark and all you have is a flashlight, you don't realize how dirty you are. But when you start getting to the mouth of the cave, when the sunlight starts hitting, we would look at each other and say, wow, we're really dirty, aren't we? But we never noticed how dirty we were until we came into the light. Yeah. Hear me well. Some of us never know how much we need to change because we're not that close to the light. We're not walking into the presence of his holiness. The more you walk closer to God, the more you realize how much you need to change. Isaiah saw, woe is me, I'm ruined. He fell on his face before God. I can imagine him shaking and weeping before God, saying, I'm ruined. How can we ever survive? I'm sinful. I live in a sinful people. Oh, what can we do? I need to be clean. I need to be clean. I need to be washed. How can I find washing? The seraph saw where he was at. And the Bible says that the seraph flew over to the altar and took coals from the altar that were burning hot, that animals had been sacrificed in, and brought them over to Isaiah. And as these coals were burning hot, he placed it upon Isaiah's lips. Now, there's several things that is symbolic of. I think, first of all, you cannot find cleansing except from the altar of Jesus, the shed blood of Jesus. But the other thing you need to understand is that purification is always painful. There's no such thing as purification without pain. You see, when God starts cleansing you, when you start turning away from things and you repent before God, it's painful. Conviction is painful. When you have to let go of things and your sorrow over them, the Bible talks about real repentance is sorrowful. You begin to sorrow over that, how you live, what you need to let go of, sorrow that you have hurt God, and it's painful. When God is changing you, it's painful. There is no maturity without pain. That's why the cave of the entrance of Christianity 101 is full of people that don't go deeper, because to go deeper requires change and sometimes pain. The Bible says that they touched his mouth. And as soon as they touched the mouth, it touched my mouth and said, see here, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Look at what it says in verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Oh, I love that. I love that. Let me tell you why I love it. Some of us are not fully engaged in doing what God has called us to do because we haven't been through the process of purification. God wants to use every person that's here. God has a call on your life. He wants to use you. But you'll never be at the point of saying, here am I, send me, until God purifies you. And once you've seen God and been willing to let him wash you and cleanse you, then you say, it's not about me, it's about you, God. So now what can I do? What can I do for you, God? I'm a yielded vessel, willing to be used of you. See, if God really wants to get a hold of this church and your life and us as individuals and really make an impact in this city, we're not going to fully engage in our mission until, first of all, we experience personal spiritual renewal in our lives. When you experience renewal in your life, when the fire of God is burning inside of you, when you have said no to stuff and begin to release stuff, when you're walking in God, when his presence is real, then you will be able to say, here am I, God, send me. And now we're willing to be used of him however he wants to use us. Amen. Amen.
What a powerful passage of scripture, Isaiah 6. Like Isaiah, true spiritual renewal begins with a new vision of God. Mark, thanks for bringing this to us.
Absolutely, Wayne. You know, this has been true all throughout my life. There are seasons in which I have to be exposed again in a fresh way to the presence of God because it stirs within me an awareness of my own personal need for purity.
Yes.
And that's what happened to Isaiah. He saw the glory of God, the holiness of God, and it drove him to say, God, cleanse my mouth, cleanse my heart. I need greater purity.
He was broken.
He was broken.
And what do we learn from his example? How can we respond the same way?
You know, we learn from his example, he was in a day and age where society, by and large, had shrunken God to a God that they could manipulate, that they could control. Yeah. But Isaiah had to once again realize and establish, no, this is a God that I have to submit to, not a God that I can control or manipulate. It's a God that I need to surrender
to. He's beyond me.
Yeah. And so I think what we learn from Isaiah is when we're exposed to how great and holy God is, our response is, purify me, God, and then here I am, use me, Lord.
A powerful takeaway from today's message on the holiness of God. If you miss any part of this lesson, we encourage you to visit our website at boldstepsradio.org. There you can revisit any earlier program, like yesterday's message, or you can request your copy of our Bold Step gift. Now, if you're like me, you've probably noticed that our culture is heading in the wrong direction. And if we want to turn it back towards the values and Christian principles it once held, it's going to take some work. To help you form an effective plan of action on how to engage the culture of a post-Christian world, we'd like to send you a book called We Will Not Be Silenced, Responding Courageously to Our Culture's Assault on Christianity. Dr. Erwin Lutzer shows us how to assert the truth and love of Christ into a culture where lies and outrage run the show. If we want to fix the culture, We need to understand why and how it was broken to begin with. And that means, as Christians, we have to address the hurts and concerns of non-believers regarding issues like racism, sexism, and poverty. So to help you do that, and to bring the truth and light of God's Word into these spaces, let us send you a copy of We Will Not Be Silenced. It's yours with a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Bold Steps. And today is the last day to request this special book. So give us a call at 800-DL-MOODY. That's 1-800-356-6639. Or give and request Dr. Lutzer's book online at boldstepsradio.org. Or send your gift in the mail. Our address is Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Well, as believers, we all have an old nature, one that remains tempted by dangerous distractions and spiritual mistakes. Tomorrow, we'll look at some urgent God-given warning signs that are in place to help keep our spiritual life from breaking down. So make plans to join us Wednesday here on Bold Steps with Mark Joe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.